How many of you are tired, frustrated, fearful? Okay. Because the truth is, you're in the perfect place to hear from God. You know, the reality is, if we're just confessing things, and I'll confess, is that whenever everything's rocking along and going great, I'm not going to spend my time focusing on the fact that I need to hear from God. But whenever I'm frustrated or I'm tired or I'm fearful, God's got my attention. Now, it's not the way it ought to be, but many times that is the way that it is. But the good news is that God is still speaking. And we can hear from Him in the middle of all that, wherever we are. All right, this morning we're going to pick up with how God speaks with us. We've talked about a lot of things already, okay? Some of which maybe were ways that we either didn't think that God spoke a whole lot to us, or maybe speaks to other people that way. But today we're going to kind of get to some of the things that we're maybe more familiar with. But we've talked about these ways. Talk about how God speaks through the Bible. We all agree with that. That's the always the litmus test for how God speaks. Make sure that it is God, is by making sure it always agrees with His revealed word. Secondly, God speaks to us in person. We talked about that. It was rare. We talked about, let's see, number three, sends angels. He's done that. It speaks through an audible voice that many can hear. It speaks through an audible voice that only your ears can hear. And an internal audible voice, like He did with the prophets when He gave them inspiration to write the Scripture. God speaks through impressions. God speaks through the natural world. And that's where we are today, talking about the fact that God speaks through the natural world. So let's talk about in a few places in the Scripture where we see this actually being declared. Okay, so let's look, first of all, at Romans chapter 1, 19 through 20. Now I'll confess, we're not going through the whole thing that he said there. We're just looking in Romans 1 just to see that this is something that is true. It is real. It's been declared in the Word that God does speak through the natural world. He does do that. So Romans 1, 19 and 20. Can somebody read that for me? Okay. So what there is that exists, that God created, we understand something about God and His character. Through what's created, we know the kind of God that He is. Okay? So, very important point. All right? So He speaks through the natural world, even in just the way He created it, and the fact that He is revealed through how He has created the world. Right? Let's go to Proverbs 6, verses 6 through 11. Back to the Old Testament. Proverbs 6, 6 through 11. If somebody would read that. All right. So, the natural world. What is the writer of this proverb doing with this? What's he doing? What's his object lesson? We'll go to that. What is his object lesson here? Okay. Well, what's he using as the object lesson? The ant. Okay, watching that ant move. Okay, using the whole idea, God shows us something even in the way He's created the critters. Okay, so the writer of Proverbs using that little ant, that little part of the natural world, as an example to us who can think and choose. All right, so we've got God speaking through the natural world, and there are other analogies in the Bible where the person who is speaking, whose God is inspired, is talking about how things in nature actually undergird a truth. Okay, those are just a couple of examples. All right, so let's go to the next way that God speaks, and this is one of those that we need to focus on a little bit, because the last way God speaks to tell us something about His character through the natural order of the world. I don't know that He necessarily gives us specific things that we need to know, a specific prophecy through the natural order or anything like that. Okay, but I know that many of us, from time to time, have done this thing. We have done what Gideon did. Go to God and say, okay, God, I really want to know. And I need your help because I'm really dense. So this is what I want you to do. Let's have this agreement. If I, you know, I'll listen, I'll pray, and if this turns out that doesn't seem like it would be something that's counterintuitive happens, then I'll know it's you. Yeah, it's like putting that fleece. You remember that story? Somebody paraphrase that story for me about Gideon. You remember what he did? Why do we call it a fleece in the first place? Okay, and the whole issue is if it's wet outside and the fleece is dry, then it must be you, God. And then if it's wet outside and it's fleece is dry, it really must be you, God. You know, so at least he did it twice, you know, to try to make sure. We'll give him that. So it's kind of asking God to create a circumstance by which there's some type of confirmation through an event. Okay, we'll just kind of paraphrase it that way. Okay, if this happens, that would not normally happen in this situation, then it must be you, God. Okay, so we go to that first example, which is Judges 6. That is the one we're just paraphrasing. Okay, that's the Gideon story. Okay, all right. The second example. In Acts chapter 1, and I'm going to paraphrase this one too. In Acts chapter 1, what were the disciples doing? What did they need to do at that point in time? Judas is gone, and they, you know, Jesus picked 12. We need 12. They had that, was within their spirits. They needed 12. So the way that they decided who God wanted to be the 12, the replacement, was by casting lots. This is not just gambling. It's not saying, okay, who are the best ones in the running? You know, we're going to have a vote. It wasn't like that. And then they didn't say, you know, anybody could be in the running. It was certain people, and they needed to know what God wanted them to do. So they said, Lord, lead us by. And of course, in the Old Testament, I can't remember. John, is that the last one that I put, or did I put one more in this category? No. Not that I'm aware of. Not in the Bible. There may be some extra biblical record somewhere that's, you know, sometimes some of those external writings, there may be stories about things like that, but I'm not aware of them. I have no idea. But here's where I'm going to go with the next thing, next statement about this. And that is, you know, in the Old Testament, God gave a breastplate that contained something called the Urim and the Thummim to the priests. And it was supposed to be something that helped them determine what God was leading them to do, the nation to do. Okay, I don't understand how that worked. I have no idea. So I'm not real sure, but I know that that was its purpose. And it was in some way objects that helped them determine, not in some creepy, weird kind of way, but that there was a way for them to determine God's purpose and will using whatever that was. I can't explain it because I don't even know what they were. I don't know that, Dusty, do you know any more about that than I mean, I don't know anybody that can really say, because I don't know anybody that was there. Okay? And it's one of those things where we just have to say, okay, that's what God said they were supposed to do with it. They were supposed to determine His will and purpose using these objects, and we don't know how. So there is a track record, even though we're not real sure about how that worked. Anthony. Fleeces, a fleece is the skin of a ram. Okay? That was placed outside, okay, and on a dry night, the fleece was wet. Okay, God, you must be telling me, because we've set up the circumstance, God, but I want to be sure, God, so this time, it's going to be wet outside and I want the fleece to be dry. And if it is, then I'll say, yes, it's God leading me, telling me to do this. It's a situation that is sort of a human construct. It's a test to some degree. But the lots, in a sense, were asking for external leadership through these objects, or God, show us which person should be by who gets the longest piece of stick. Okay, it's the same concept, even though it's a different object. I don't know. It'd be a lot of sticks. All right. So asking God to speak through a circumstance that is sort of made as a test. Okay. There are times that God does that. Okay. Have you ever had that happen in your life? No, more specific in that you said, okay, God, if this is you speaking, then this specific thing needs to happen. You know, show me by doing this. Okay? I mean, I have known people who have had that happen in their lives. They've said, God, I really want you to speak. If it's you and you're telling me to do this, then this, you know, let this happen, or let this be contra to what would be natural, and those things happened, and they felt like that was God telling them what to do because of the, you know, you have to remember when these things happen, and whenever people do this, there's this understanding that's always going to be in keeping with Scripture. Again, okay? Do I do this? No, because I don't think that laying out fleeces is a good thing. I don't think testing God is always the best way to figure out what He's trying to tell me to do. Okay? Although, I'm also not going to be narrow enough to say He can't do this and won't do this. Does that make sense? Yes, it was contra normal order. Yeah, this is something we have to understand about this. This was a method of confirmation for Gideon. He had a sense already of what he was supposed to do. No, and this was more of a, okay, God, nail this sucker good for me, please, because I just want to make sure. He was insecure. He was uncertain. And he was saying, God, I think this is what you're telling me. But please just kind of make sure that I get this right. So either he wasn't trusting himself. I think it was more that he wasn't trusting himself than he was trusting God. Which is a good lesson for us. In that we don't need to go looking for what God wants us to do this way. But this way may be a way that exists to confirm. God really does want us, to get it. He doesn't want to be a silent partner. He wants to be the speaking partner, and many times we just have to let Him do that. One thing I do know about this is that Christians who are usually newer in the faith will rely upon this more than ones who have been in the faith and been through more in general. I know it's a blanket statement, I understand. But it's easier to latch on to this earlier in your walk than it is later on. Because you do understand there are so many more ways that God is speaking. And it's so much easier to get the image, the picture, you know, the mind, you know, okay, fleece dry, fleece wet. Hey, clear, simple, right? God did it. Good. Okay. There's no investment on my part to discern God's will. And they like that. Okay. Whenever I was 8, 9 years old, I liked concrete too. You did too. So it is a way that God confirms. And that seems to be, you know, God speaking. He can do that. But the temptation is to try to do that way too much. And I think that's, if you're going to build a theology of fleeces, then that's way too much to think that it's going to be that often that, you know, that God does use that mode. Which, let's see, okay, we'll quickly do this one. There's times where God speaks to us through things that are going on literally physically within us, okay? Sometimes it has to do with, let's look at the examples and we'll go there, okay? Luke 8, 45 and 46. Let's look at that. Luke 8, 45, 46. So what happened to Jesus at this point? Do you remember the story? He's in a crowd. What happens in a crowd? There was an exchange or something took place. Jesus understood something had happened. Felt like power had gone out of him and had made a change in somebody he didn't even know who it was. Has anybody had something like this happen? All right. All right. Good illustration. I would say probably the way that a lot of people think, and I'll say me too, is that the old thing that Job had to deal with, which was, if something happens and I'm sick, or you know something happened, then I automatically might think, did I do something wrong? Is there a sin that I need to deal with? You know, the fact that God would get my attention through what's going on in my physical body to alert me to the fact that something's not right. It doesn't necessarily mean that's true, but I have to be willing to ask the question, right? Because it may not be true at all. But let's go with an obvious one, okay? Is that if I'm a drug addict, there's something going on in my body that's caused by my choices. Should be an alert to the fact that I need to do something different with the choices, even though it's very hard to deal with that. Okay? There's something that's happening. Now, is that a God thing? Did God cause that to happen? No. Can God use it? Absolutely. Could God be speaking through me dealing with the consequences of my choices? Yes. Could be. But we're not saying that every disease is caused by a bad choice. But far from it, okay? Okay, so there's times where things going on within us is God speaking. Sometimes it is. Now, this is kind of where we were buttoning our heads up against just a minute ago when we were talking about fleeces. And that has to do with circumstances, okay? And again, this can be as problematic as looking for a fleece under every rock. Because we can't just say that every circumstance is God's will, or we become very deterministic. And it's also not biblical to say that every circumstance that we face is God's will. It's just not accurate. What happens if we start to resigning ourselves to every circumstance being God's will? Okay, defeated, deceived, okay. Nothing, God, where's the room for God to do his redemptive or miraculous work? Well, no, it's just supposed to be a storm. We're just supposed to die in the storm. So we're going to die in the storm. There's no room. Why would anybody be praying or seeking God for a change or anything in the storm? Right. I mean, there is no room. So we've got to be very careful with this whole idea of circumstances necessarily being the will of God. But let's look at some examples. God does speak, though, through circumstances. So let's go to Genesis 42, 1 through 5. Back to the beginning. Genesis 42, 1 through 5. Back to the story of Jacob. Oh, actually, Joseph and Jacob, yeah. All right. So how did God speak through this circumstance? The circumstance was famine, bad thing. It is, as far as they know, worldwide. It's definitely the entire area from Egypt to the Middle East. How did God speak through this circumstance? Joseph. Okay, we're going to get to dreams in a minute. Okay, but in the circumstance, how did God speak, in a sense? Okay, we've got a famine. Okay, the famine drove the family to Egypt, right? Where, what happened? Okay, where, number one, Joseph was reunited with his brothers, and two, what happened? God rescued all of Jacob's family because they would have possibly died from the famine where they were. They had no food. Protected them, in a sense, for that time, which fulfilled God's promise, right? Okay? God spoke through the circumstance. Okay, let's look at another one. This one is in Hebrews 12, 7 through 11. So go all the way back to the New Testament, back to Hebrews. All I know is that when we look at circumstances, the good news is we can always look back and see on the other side. Again, the danger with saying circumstances dictate everything is that you begin to say that every circumstance is God's will. Okay? Whereas I'm gonna be honest with you, I love sports like the next guy. Okay? I mean, probably more so than most guys. Okay? But you know, every kid who believes that God was on their side when they scored a touchdown or hit a home run, they're probably not right. Okay? You know, God wants them to play their game and represent Him well and demonstrate character and be a good teammate and all that stuff. He wants a representative. And yes, we ought to be giving Him glory, but we ought to be giving Him glory whenever we fail just as much as when we succeed. So, circumstances can be. We just have to be careful with circumstances. Usually, what I find, and I think you'd probably see it being biblical, is that circumstances in and of themselves are really not usually a very good, reliable way to say this is what God's saying. When you put it with other things, the other ways that God speaks, it is effective in concert, but only, solely, specifically, probably not a reliable way of knowing what God wants us to do, especially if we're not hanging out with Him. Well, here's the, yes, that's a good example. And if you look at the whole story of Moses, if you were going to go with circumstances dictating God's will, everything is contra what you would expect. Okay, he's in the royal court. He grows up there, a favored child. But then he gets excommunicated, or he runs away, and he is on his own for 40 years, and finds Jethro and is, you know, herding sheep. And you know, which of those circumstances are you going to say is God's will? And then, whenever he comes back, at any point in the whole back and forth with Pharaoh, with the plagues, and well, at what point are you going to say the circumstances is going in the right direction? You know, you might be able to say that the circumstance was finally God's will whenever Pharaoh said, oh, hey, get out of here. But then you see, there's too many points in the story where if you stop the story right there, you could have said, oh, well, was that God? The ultimate conundrum is Jesus dying on the cross. Because there's a lot of people would say, ooh, that's not good. That can't be God's will for me. And if Jesus was not doing what God told him to do, and if he had not died on the cross anyway, then we could say that every circumstance, and because then you have to say, well, what is God's, what is a God-spoken circumstance supposed to look like? Is it supposed to be one where I'm safe and I'm protected and I'm, and everything is to my convenience and my liking? Or, you know, is it like reality where sometimes things are hard and God's speaking to those things that are hard and we're supposed to deal with it and rise up through it? Go back to Gideon. 300 guys lapping water like pups going out there to fight thousands of people. That circumstance doesn't sound good to me. I think I would have chosen the 17,000 that didn't lap water like pups. So we kind of framed it. He does speak through circumstances, but usually it's in concert with all the other ways that he speaks. And we've got to be careful about that. Yes, Kennedy. And we can be thankful when God does reveal himself through circumstances on the backside. There's nothing wrong with that. We can be grateful. But we need to be careful in saying, this was God speaking through a circumstance, if we're trying to let that be the only thing where we're making a decision by, or we're trying to hear God. Okay. All right. Dreams and visions. Dreams and visions. Job 33:13-18. The middle of your Bibles, just about. 33:13-18. Somebody read that for us. All right. There's a direct statement. God does it, doesn't he? Now, I'll also go through and say that passage that we were trying to get to a while ago in Joel. Joel chapter 2. Tell you what, we're running along, aren't we? Yeah, okay. I'm going to stop. Can we start here next week? Let's do that. I want to spend a little more time talking about dreams and visions, and we won't do it justice if we try to get it done in 30 seconds. So let's pause there, okay? Are you hearing things you need to hear? Is God opening up your eyes and your ears? Is this helping? Is this more than just going, gee, we learned some really good stuff on Sunday morning. I heard it. It made sense. I took lots of notes. Because if that's where we are, maybe I'm not helping so much. Let's pray. Father, give us the desire not only to be with you and to hear from you, but give us the desire to please you in every way. Help us long for you like water that we would long for in a desert. Lord, help us to desire you above anything that you would say to us or do for us. Lord, we desperately need to know your heart, your ways. And Lord, we do seek you. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us to understand the ways that you're speaking to us today. Give us hearts of flesh and ears that hear and eyes to see. Lord, the fields are wide unto harvest. Help us to follow you where you go, that we may have fruitful lives and find abundance and joy now and in eternity. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.